You're listening to Journey Church Podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now we trust that you're blessed by the following presentation.
Dig right in here today to the first point in this talk. Number one, when it comes to storms, storms happen. Storms happen. They happen to us all. You know, and it's so important that we know this. It's so important that we not only know it, but that we regularly remind ourselves of that. Because I think we can end up easily walking through life with discriminated feelings, like we feel like we've been discriminated against, feeling like I'm the only one who seems to methodically fall on bad times, like I'm the only one who methodically experiences bad times. Now listen to me, storms happen. God is not against you. They happen to us all. Matter of fact, this is probably going to be one of the few times we have full audience participation requests put out in this message, but show of hands, who in here has experienced quite a few storms in their lives? Look around you right now. If that is to tell you the lie that you're the only one that experiences storms, every person in here experiences storms. How many know storms are just part of life's forecast? And I want to look at a few storms today in Scripture and see what lessons and truths and takeaways we can get from them in our lives today. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew's the first book of the New Testament. It's the first book I ever read as a believer. I love the book of Matthew. I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version. If you're following along with us on the app, we've got the scriptures for you there. We got them for you on the screen. We got you covered. But sometimes there's nothing like following along with your Bible in your hand or whether it's electronic or paper. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to look at verse 22. And what has just happened in this time is Jesus has just fed 5,000 plus people. It says 5,000, but it says that was just 5,000 men. It doesn't count the women and children in that scripture. Experts would say anywhere between 6,000 to 8,000 people were fed in this incredible miracle. And right after Jesus fed the 5,000, 6,000 to 8,000 people, verse 22 picks up. And it says this, immediately Jesus, it says, made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. He's basically saying, hey, you guys get on the Sea of Galilee, head over to the other side, I'll do cleanup. Don't worry about it. And it says, after he dismissed the crowds, Jesus went up on a mountain, it says, by himself to pray. It says, when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. I want to stop right there. What was against them? The wind, okay, because it's important that we see it doesn't say God was against them. Again, it doesn't say God was against them. How many know God is for you? If you're a believer, hear me today. Romans 8:31, if God is for you, listen, and just because God is for you doesn't mean life will always be. It says the wind was against them. I mean, no, there are going to be times, there are going to be circumstances, there are going to be situations that will come against you. And it says here, listen, this storm, I mean, they're in the middle of a storm, this storm is pummeling these guys. And it's not just one of those blow in, blow out. This is a storm that is straight up pummeling these guys for a while, because we see here, like it continued into the fourth watch of the night. And I don't know if you know what fourth watch of the night is. I'm like a details nerd, so I just love to geek out on stuff. But I studied into that. What they did, the Romans and the Jews back in that day, is they would divide the night into three sets from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. That's a 12-hour period. And they would divide the nights into three sets from 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6. And they would call each set a watch. And so here it's saying the first watch, it starts, and in the fourth watch, it's still going. So this is happening anywhere between 3 and 6 in the morning at night on the lake. This storm is pummeling them. And it says in the middle of this, anywhere between 3 and 6 in the morning, it says Jesus came to them walking on the sea. I think this is so interesting that we understand the context of where we're at. You have that picture of the Sea of Galilee? Like, I think we always feel like when I read the scripture, it's like calm waters, maybe a few raindrops and a little like a wind. No, man, do you know the Sea of Galilee can get some storms going at a level where the waves can be recorded up to 10 to 15 feet? I mean, you're talking some insanity that's happening here in the middle of the night. And it says that Jesus is walking on this to them where they're at. And it says here in verse 26, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Here's point number two to our storms. Not only do storms happen, but storms attempt with great effort to blind our believability. Storms attempt with great effort to blind our believability. Storms attack your faith. Storms attempt to drain your belief tank. I mean, the disciples cannot even believe what it is they're seeing. How many know we are Missourians? That means we're from the show me state, meaning I won't believe it till I see it. But they see it and they don't even believe it. It's like, what? That can't be. This is a, look at this. Like, I see him, but it could not be him. Like, I know you just fed 6,000 to 8,000 pieces or people with 5 loaves and 2 tilapia. I know you did that. But this, no. This is crazy. They believed what they were seeing was outside of the boundaries of the abilities of Jesus. Walking on water in this weather? No way. How many times do we believe where we are is outside of his reach? Come on. How many times do we believe that God can't get to what I'm going through? You know, as a pastor, I see this all the time. I'm certain you see this as a Christian where I or a fellow believer is there trying to champion the faith of another believer, doing everything we can, cartwheels, preaching messages, trying to encourage the faith and the belief system of another believer to say, hey, you can make it, you can do it, God is right there with you, come on, you got this. But it seems like so many of us have a belief cap. Where we say, yeah, I know God can do some things, but he can't do this one. Look, I hear you, and I agree what he's done for you. I love it that you told me your story to try and relate to where I'm at, but you don't know where I'm at. I'm in too deep. What we see in verse 26 is they believed the storm was bigger than the abilities of their Savior. They thought he died. Look, when it says they said it's a ghost, they said it's a what? It's a ghost. That's literal. That's no body. That's just spirit Jesus. They thought Jesus was dead, just coming to say goodbye to him. And they're thinking, man, if God was killed by this storm, man, we are most certainly good as dead. They thought it was his ghost. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, chill out. It's me, quit crying. Or as it says here, right? Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Amen. And it says, and Peter answered him. Now they're having a conversation in this storm. Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, oh, look at our little person over there. I so relate, my sister. I so relate. Amen. Oh. But Jesus said this after Peter says, hey, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water. And Jesus said, come on, right? So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to, how cool is this? That he is, it says he got out, walked on the water, came to, is walking on the water to Jesus. I mean, what is this like for Peter? The feeling of water underneath your feet holding you up. He is literally doing the impossible. You can't reason this. You can't put scientific equations to this to equal this to be a possibility in any route whatsoever. He is doing the impossible. In verse 30 says this, but when he saw the wind, in other words, when he saw the results of the wind, what he was hearing, what he was seeing all around him. How many know that picture we just saw? I mean, this is what he is seeing all around him. It says, when he saw the wind, when he saw the storm, he was afraid. And it says, beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Now, I want to pause here. Because I dug into this part of the scripture with every tool I was given to be able to study scripture. And because I used to think that this scenario was like Peter's walking on the water, splish, splash, splish, splash, splish, splash, right? And then all of a sudden he takes his eyes off Jesus and he's looking around, oh, and then he like started to sink a little bit, whoa, right? Uh-uh. That's what I used to think. Like, he's like knee deep in it. He's like, Jesus, help, right? That's not what the verse implies in the original Greek. Listen to this. It says that the interpreted nature of this phrase in the Greek, it says immediately begin to sink, is an immediate submersion. Like into a trap door. Boom, boom, and you are completely underwater and drowning. It was instantaneous. The moment it says that he saw the wind, like a trap door, he became afraid. And as a result of that fear, boom, he immediately sunk underwater. And here he is drowning. In a split second, he's walking to drowning. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, man, it comes down to either fear or faith. Like you can't have both on the steering wheel of your life at the same time. It's one or the other. You can't be scared and you can't be full of faith at the same time. Well, let me say it this way. The only way to stand in a storm is through your unadulterated focus on Jesus. Hear me. The only way to stand in a storm, the only way, is through your unadulterated focus on Christ. That is what got Peter out of the boat in the first place, and that's what got him to walk to Jesus in the second place. Listen, and it says when he took his eyes off of him, he was immediately submerged. I mean, no, faith is not a Jesus, you got most of my focus, but I'm going to peek over here for a minute. Characteristic. Faith is an all-in play. And when you exercise faith, it becomes a platform for you to stand in impossible times. But hear me, in that platform is a trap door called fear. That can cause you to fall through what it is you were once standing on. Journey Church, hear me today when I say, where faith will uphold you, fear will drown you. And Peter drowning in this moment leads us to verse 31, where it says, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and took hold of him. That word in the Greek, took hold of, means to save and rescue from peril. He was under water. And picking him up and grabbing hold of him and embracing them, Jesus says these words, O you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Here's what Jesus is saying to Peter, and here's what Jesus is saying to us. Don't allow where you're at to intimidate what you can do. Peter allowed where he was to intimidate what it was he was doing. He allowed the atmosphere around him to disqualify the abilities inside of him. Journey Church, if he's with you, he's with you. If he's with you, he's with you. Romans 8:31, if God is for you, then who can be against you? ? You ever thought about that? That's not a statement, that's a question. If God is for you, then who can be against you? ? I believe the reason that that is phrased in that way is because the answer is up to you. You decide who's against you, and you decide what they can do. What was Peter doing in verses 28 through 30? He was walking to Jesus. Let's forget about where he was for the moment. Let's forget about where he was for the time being. Let's just look straight up at what he was doing. He was walking to and walking with Jesus. You see, walking with Jesus is really quite simple. Really, if you think about it, walking with Jesus, what does it take to walk with Jesus? What does walking with Jesus require of you and I? Pray, believe, obey. Simple. Pray, believe what he said, what he says, what he tells us, and how he tells us, pray, believe, obey. Simple. That's what walking with Jesus requires. Pray, believe, obey. It's called a faith walk. It's really quite simple. You understand? I mean, it's the straight and narrow. It's praying, believing, and obeying. It's not walking by sight. It's walking by faith. Praying, believing, and obeying. But can I tell you? It's one thing to pray, believe, and obey when the elevation level is ground level. It's one thing to pray, believe, and obey when the sun is out and everything's going my way and the birds are chirping, but it's another thing if you elevate your set of circumstances and the sun isn't out. Instead, the storm clouds are brewing and you don't have birds chirping around you. It's another thing to pray and believe and obey when the wind is blowing and the rain is falling and you see waves beating up against to your left and your right and you got criticism everywhere and your boss on Monday morning is just a demon and you're trying to do everything you can just to make it and you got fights and bills to pay and you don't know how to pay them. It's one thing to pray, believe, and obey when everything's going your way, but it's another thing to do it in the storm. Hear me. What was Peter doing? You see, it wasn't that Peter was walking that was the problem. It was where he was walking that became the problem. Had Peter kept his eyes on the prize, had Peter in the waves kept his eyes on Jesus, had Peter kept his pray, his believe, and his obey in the focus of his Savior, then he would have gotten to him and he would have walked back to the other side of the boat, climbed over the rail dry instead of being carried over soaking wet. Can I say this? A change in elevation doesn't change the walk. Pray, believe, and obey rings as true at ground level as it does 30,000 feet when all hell's breaking loose. What we allow to happen is the atmosphere around the simplicity of our faith walk to disqualify our ability to walk. The plank is in front of you. The path is there. God has called us to walk it. We just have to keep our eyes on Him. Pray, believe, and obey. I remember as a youth pastor digging out in the ministry for the first time. And my pastor told me I said, how much money am I going to get to run this youth ministry? He said, nothing. You have teenagers. They have the ability to do fundraisers. Raise the money yourself. Okay? And I did. And I'd believe for about $10,000 to $17,000 every year for our youth ministry. Seeing, you know, 50 to 100 kids just come to know Jesus and believing for that. But and that was a faith walk to an extent, but can I tell you, when I became a pastor, boy, was there a change in elevation. Where I was no longer under the safety of the umbrella of another man's vision. Now, God has called me to climb out of the boat of comfort of another man's vision, and now I got to walk in the unknown. The boat's way over there. Boy, I'd really like to be in that boat right about now. Right, we all got faith at the starting block. Come on, somebody. It's like, yeah, let's do this. Woohoo! Right? And we're ready to go. But about three steps in, you're like, and you see all your friends over there just floating, you know, just they're comfortable. Tell you what, man, being a church planner, whoo! I've learned to keep my eyes on Him for everything. Pray. Believe and obey is the same thing no matter what elevation you find yourself at. Same walk, different atmosphere. And let me tell you something, this rings true whether you're believing for a headache to go away or you're believing for cancer to go away. It rings true. Pray. Believe and obey. This rings true if you're believing for $10 to fill up your tank or you're believing for $100,000. It rings true. Pray, believe, and obey. It rings true if you've got a minor argument in your with your spouse or you've got a major situation in your marriage. Pray, believe, obey, and watch where you can walk. If God is for you, who can be against you? Same walk, different atmosphere. Beating a storm requires your faith focus. Number three, and we're going to go quick because that's, point two was, that killed me right there. Amen. I think I sweat like 4 pounds. Storms submit. I won't go into the scripture, but I want you to read Mark chapter 4 later on today or later on this week. I've got it. I've got the portion of scripture to read in the app. Because Jesus, on the same sea at a different time, is experiencing insane storms. And it says that he, the disciples are freaking out. Jesus is sleeping. Jesus gets up and does what? Speaks to the storm and says, "Stop it." I'm trying to sleep. Amen. Right? That's what he did. I mean, we can throw KJV on it all day. Peace be still. Right? He spoke to the storm and it says immediately, can I tell you something? You have been made in His image and His likeness. Your voice, when you are with Him, has power. Storms submit. Number four, here's my last point. Storms isolate. I'm going to close with this one. You know, it's so easy to feel alone in a storm. It's so easy to feel lonely. You know what I'm saying? In a storm. I mean, I don't know about you, but me, my internal instincts when I'm going through a storm are to run and hide. me. I just want to close the world off. I want to pout, and I want to eat a king-size symphony bar. The blue ones, not the red ones. The red ones are just a waste, but the blue ones have nuts and toffee in it. Like, can we get one of those later on? Not that I'm going through a storm. I'm just saying I want one. Like, and listen, sometimes this is what I want to be. And I'm not saying being alone is bad. I'm not saying that at all. I'm in no way suggesting that solitude is a bad thing. In fact, solitude is quite the opposite. It is a great thing. Solitude is necessary for sanity. If you were just around people all the time, we would go crazy. I mean, you need solitude for sanity. Solitude is a fruit grown from a desire to be alone for the purpose of spiritual growth and emotional balance. Let me say it that way. Solitude is a fruit grown from a desire to be alone for the purpose of spiritual growth and emotional balance. Prayer in a closet is as powerful as anything. Reading scripture in solitude, being with Jesus alone is a great thing. But let me say this, there is a difference between solitude and isolation. And isolation is a danger that breeds and feeds loneliness. Isolation can hold hands with social fears. Doesn't all the time, but I'm saying isolation can hold hands with social fears. Isolation can hold hands with shame, why we don't want to be around people, guilt, or insecurity, or all of the above. Let me speak to insecurity. People that say, I don't want to be a burden on others, which is my personal struggle, because I feel like I love helping others, and I would feel like I'm a burden if I asked help of anybody else. And anybody in this room would say, Jesse, you're an idiot for thinking that. You would in no way be a burden to me. Amen? Amen? I am. It's true. I'm just messing with you. You know, that's my struggle. But we believe these lies, though. When isolation is probably right where the enemy wants us, and that's not good. When you're going through a storm, man, I'm telling you, get around somebody. Come on. I mean, there's a reason God said in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9, that two are better than one. There's a reason that he said, woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Peter in that moment would say, come on, somebody. Amen. There's a reason God said in Proverbs 27:17 that iron sharpens iron, so another man sharpens another. There's a reason God said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up. Listen, at the end of the day, when you're going through a storm, you need to give voice to what it is you're going through. You need an ear to bend. You need a heart to sit next to. Someone who is not you, right? My wife was going through something the other day, and just the responsibilities of life, and we just sat in our bed that night, and she just talked, because I was like, what's going on? There's a little bit of just imbalance and reaction, and she just started to share about her experiences and what she was going through and her feelings and where she was and just the storm of her circumstances. She just was talking, and then I started to respond appropriately, and she talked more, and I'm responding appropriately. And we just had this time. And at the end of our talk, she looked at me like she had that look of, thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. I'm not going to sing the whole song. But if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew. You would see the biggest gift would be from me, and the card attached would say, come on, somebody. Like, that was the look I got. Like, we need that. We need somebody to just be Sophia and Ruth and all those people to our lives. Amen. The golden girls. Isolation is right where the enemy wants us. Oh, if I could only tell you the stats of the dangers of isolation. Let me say this. It is twice as dangerous as obesity in America in the context of heart failure. Isolation. It's right where the enemy wants us. And the enemy to isolation is spiritual family. And getting through a storm requires spiritual family. The people that God has placed around you to encourage your faith, to keep glowing, and to encourage your feet to keep going. Can I tell you, sometimes the greatest thing I can hear when I'm going through a storm is somebody telling me what Rob Schneider told Bobby Boucher in The Waterboy. You can do it! Sometimes that's just the greatest thing to hear. I don't know, that's me. But that right there, where did he go? There you are. That right there requires connection. That's what it requires. All right, you can take them off now. Amen. It requires connecting with others in the faith and not going through your storm alone. Can we stand to our feet? We don't normally do this, but I want to do this for the sake of time. I want us, if we would, just to grab hands of the person next to us. And can we even go across the aisle? And listen, I'm not that type of person where it's like, all right. We don't do this all the time. And trust me, there are churches that do this all the time. And you know what? Maybe that's not a bad thing. Because we need to see what it is we have right here. And if you can reach the person behind you, then if you can. I'm not asking you to go crazy out of your way to do it. But here's what we need to see today. There are Germex stations outside. You don't got to worry about it. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Here's what we need to understand, though, is that we're not alone. You are not alone. Every hand that I saw went up in this room at the beginning of this talk when I said, your life experienced quite a few storms. Yes. Just know you're not alone. Please know that here today. Amen. I just want you, if you would, as we close in prayer, I'm going to close, but I want you just to be praying for the person to your left or to your right. Just ask God to bless them and know that they're going to be doing the same for you in this moment. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Journey Church Podcast. If you'd like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by email at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.